Podtacular, episode 109, Halo 3 VidDoc, beta special for the week of April 16th, 2007.
Alright gentlemen, let's get freaky!
What's up everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Fumo Jive.
And I'm your host, JVP.
And I'm your host, Kimo23.
And I'm Beasting.
Welcome aboard, fellas.
You're welcome. Yeah. Now, Kimo, this is your second time on the show, right?
Yeah. A while back was, yeah.
Cool. Welcome.
You also run the art forums, right, at Podtacular.com?
Yeah,
you're
definitely.
Like the Ayatollah?
Yeah.
With an iron fist.
Yeah, it's like the most active forum. We got a lot of awesome members there. Like, we get like a new member every day, so a lot of cool new stuff.
I heard Brian Gamer was going to put a knitting forum.
Knitting?
No kidding.
That's like something he's good at.
Yeah.
While he sits on the toilet, right?
Oh my god.
And he writes show notes to us. Yeah.
That's where he thinks of like Halo Harmony and stuff.
I know. So Beasting, what's up with you, man? Anything you've been up to?
I'm just a random person on the forums and community. I've been here for a while, and finally getting on an episode, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. You've been sending stuff in for quite a long time, so.
Yep.
We advise people, you know, you want to be on the show, man, be active, and, you know, your time will come.
Your time will come. It will come. So, hey, let's get started. We got the craziest show ever right now. This is, I'm more excited about this show than I've been in any show in the past, because we have so much info from Bungie. We're so excited about the Halo 3 beta. We're pumped about the video documentary we recently saw that's on Xbox Live Marketplace and on Bungie.net about the Halo 3 beta and multiplayer, and man, it's looking good, man. I am excited.
Absolutely. We finally have a date, May 16th.
Yeah.
Woo! So that's going to be the day that people
are going to... Day of Reckoning.
Yep, Day of Reckoning. It was funny, I was leaving my house and I had Gmail on, and a message popped up, you know, I got an email, and it was press release for the Halo 3 beta release date. So I rushed over to Podtacular, put it up on the front page, checked all the official gaming sites and everything, and, you know, a little sense of pride that I was able to put it on Podtacular before, like, the bigger websites got it on. But too bad it was 6 in the morning where... Not too many people saw it anyway, but...
Yeah, Bungie definitely copied it off us.
Oh, of course.
Come on. We had it first.
Thought of it first.
They ask us what they should put in the game, so... So, speaking of which, let's get this show rolling like a bubble shield. All right. I'm going to take Logan Payne here.
Do it.
Okay. He goes, I've been in a hissy fit. Oh, come on, dude. I'll give you a hug. About Halo 2 and all its cons. But Halo 3 is looking to finally kick the nasty stigma out of my head. I mean, it's looking really nice. The video documentary was very cool, and I have to get one comment out, and hopefully the guy in the video can hear this. To the guy who cries on his desk, go cry some more. Just kidding. Here goes. I'm with you about the huge expectation your game has. Please take your time with the game. The public may say they want it now, but they really want it done right. Everyone wants your game out the door tomorrow, but if it's shipped with not only the glitches of a typical game, but the horrible gameplay that accompanies some games that live and die on the 360 almost overnight, everyone will hate it. And blame you for releasing it too early, despite the fact that they're egging you on. And absolutely, we've all been begging that they just take their time, do it right. And, I mean, I've been working on this title for probably 3 years now. So,
baby, you can do it. Take the time. Do it right. Do it right. You can do it, baby.
Oh, man. So thanks a lot, Logan Payne, for that one. Yeah, you're right.
Take your time.
Ah, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, man.
Damn you, Fumo. All right, so.
Baby.
All right. I'll do Ultimate Killer, who says, I was watching the Vidoc, and I got to the part where it shows the shield grenade. In the clip, it showed the shield rolling because it was on a hill. This got me thinking, can you make the shield grenade roll down a hill and splatter a guy? I can see it now. You splatter in a guy with a shield bubble because you're low on ammo.
Look, pull a piece of that bubble. Anyway, so.
Yeah, I don't see it splattering people necessarily, but because the thing is that I recently saw a video on 1UP that was kind of dissecting the video, right? The Vidoc, and it was talking about the shield grenade acting like a portable shield ball. The guy, when he was inside the shield grenade, he was not firing, and it's probably because if you fire, it just freaking bounces off the walls and hits you, you know? Hmm. So,
yeah,
it's probably kind of like the shield ball where, you know, on Snowbound, where you can walk through it, but you can't fire through it. So if you fire, you know, inside, it just bounces off and hits you. So another thing was that it has its own physics, and I wanted to see what you guys thought about this. Like, it looks like they intentionally made it a round shape so that it'll roll. It's hard to predict, unlike the other two grenades that we're used to, where you can throw them. Even the frag grenade, you can kind of predict where it's going to land because it'll, once it hits the second time, it'll generally stop. But this kind of grenade, it's just going to roll and roll and roll depending on the physics of the map. So because of that, it's not as predictable, and you can't, like, throw it for a teammate, for instance, because it's just going to roll all over the place, and you can't throw it very far anyway, so it's kind of, you have to stay inside of the shield grenade, which is tricky in itself, and you know, you have to deploy it for yourself. So, and it looks like you can hold at least one person, probably, possibly more, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty big, but speaking about the size, I mean, me and Beastings were talking about the size of the actual bubble shield. It looks like a beach ball. Yeah. So, yeah, you're not going to throw it too far. But hopefully that's just a placeholder, and the final, model will look a lot smaller and more appealing. But just imagine, you know, like, you get the flag, you come out of the base, and at a certain point while you're close to your base, you throw the shield down, you have one guy kicking it, while the guy with the flag is behind you. You know, there's ways I'm sure people will try to experiment.
Crazy strategies.
Yeah, a lot
of good point, because you could probably do something with the bomb there. I mean, have the bomb guy deploy it, pick up the bomb, have the shield around him while he's in the other team's base, and just arm the bomb. You know?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yep. So
that's why Bungie's gonna have to work on balance issues, because if they have down on every map, then it's gonna be easy for the team, if they have a bubble shield, to just go in there and shield the guy while he's arming the bomb. So they got to work on balance issues with that, unless they have something already worked out.
Well, true, but you got two options there. You can go in and a couple options. You can go in and melee the person, you know, with multiple people. You can go in and throw a sticky grenade and stick them. You can go in and throw a brute grenade and stick it to either them or something else or whatever it is. You know, so you got a couple of ways that you can counter it already right there. So,
I have a question. Has anyone seen, like, if you throw the shield grenade down, or a bubble shield, can another Spartan or lead or whatever go inside the shield, or is that, or they stop from getting in too?
I think it just stops everything. Who's ever in it when it deploys, that's what it stays as.
Mm-hmm. Now, breakdown of the video, Luke Smith made a good point about one of the maps that are not going to be in the beta. It's like a bridge. Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like the similar to the Halo 1. The bubble shield is on top of a pillar.
Right.
So it was saying that it looks like it's one of those randomly respawnable items like the sword, you know? Yeah, like the sword or invisibility that you're going to have to fight for. So it's not like anybody's going to just grab it or have it as a default, you know, add-on.
I'm actually I'm going to stop you there because the next comment actually talks about that a little.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Big Goalie Dan says, "Wow, I watched the beta video and I was blown away. Even though it was just an alpha build, the graphics still look amazing. I love the equipment option with the personal grab lift, shield bubble, and trip mine. I'm just curious to see how it will be implemented. If you'll spawn with it on one of each, or it'll be like rockets located at a specific area of the map." And so I think with that, I mean, it's definitely, I think they actually said that it's going to be like finding an overshield or something, or finding rockets. Because if you think about it, if everyone spawned with a personal grab lift or everyone spawned with bubble shield, then it just
ruins.
Kind of changed the whole game, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like you said, with the physics, it's not going to be one where you can just throw it and it's going to stay in one spot. You know, it'll roll away from you at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, also, I want to say hello to Big Goalie Dan. He's one of the newer members. So, thanks for sending in some stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So we got a few more things with the X button being the deployable button. So you're deploying the trip mine, the shield grenade, and probably some new stuff that Bungie has yet to mention. What do you guys think might be possible deployables in the future?
That's a tough one. You might be able, because I know they showed a little about how you could take like a Warthog turret or something away for like a short amount of time from the actual Warthog.
Yeah.
That might be one. If like you're carrying it, you press X and you like could deploy that somewhere. That's
a turret.
Yeah, kind of like Lost Planet, where Lost Planet you can take a rocket launcher or the Tommy gun off of a mech.
Hmm.
So they were also saying that, you know, with that, you know, the size of with a weapon that size, you probably can't switch weapons. It'll probably just drop
both of your weapons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So possible deployable turret in the future. Maybe there's all kinds of crazy stuff that could come into play, you know, especially as they get into Forerunner tech, and you never know what could happen with that. Mm-hmm.
Sure they got some surprises up their sleeve, you know?
Definitely.
I've seen in the forums, a picnic table, you know, that's a pretty good idea, you know? Spartans get hungry.
Put some tuna sandwiches, you know?
Yeah, I've set a porta potty back in the days.
Be nice.
I mean, you know, the useful things that you need, the essentials in life.
Speaking about the porta potty, I think Bungie. I know that's weird.
Speaking of the porta potty,
yeah. Jeez, I need to go. No, I'm just kidding. Bungie. I think they do stuff like that for a reason. Like they have these easily recognizable icons, so you can. Like, when you get into more of the competitive play, that you can say, just like Halo 2, like on Zanzibar, you say, or Camp Froman, or, you know, Invisible Shield. So you can say on High Ground, you know, he's at Porta Potty 1 or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's going to be multiple Porta Potties.
Porta Potty 5!
There's Porta Potties full.
Occupied.
Man, they can't hold it very long, can they?
It's on dream, when I've done elevators and construction sites, when it's on red, that means somebody's in there, so.
Better not step out.
Like, come on, let me in!
Oh, man.
There's no way to unzip that big suit, is there?
Oh, man. So, is this the same thing Goalie Dan says also on the bottom?
I guess, so he also says, one thing I noticed is behind the guy who is talking and gesturing around the 2 minute and 40 second mark is a screen that says custom games. It says on the screen game Escort. Whether this is a new game type or just custom game from Bungie like Zombies remains to be seen. Also, of note, the map name is called Warthog Inc. Maybe that's a code name for a map, or maybe it's just a map specifically made for Warthogs, like the race game type from Halo 1. So I think, they talked a little about this on the, like you were saying before, Fumo, the analysis on 1UP.com. So possibly Escort, I mean, just going from the name could be like you transport an item or transport a guy holding something to a specific place and do something like maybe have them there for a specific amount of time, like plant the bomb or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that might be interesting.
And, now, Go ahead. Now, I was going to say, let's not forget who we're talking about. You know, each camera angle is purposely facing a spot. You know, there's no mistakes that you're going to see in that video. I mean, Bungie is known for, like, just putting stuff in the background of their, you know, pics or whatever.
Right.
And that could all just be, you know, just, you know, mind games. Like, I mean, it could be just a regular custom game that they made, you know.
Or Escort may be, like, the new name for Bomb or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
True.
Just,
so, I mean, you know, you never know with these guys.
Yeah, I tend to think it's more like a president game type that's actually, you know, enforced by rules within Halo, as opposed to, you know, your own rules. So I think that's going to be sweet.
Yeah, maybe they have a shield or something.
So I guess Warthog Inc. is, well, I mean, it seems like a placeholder. I think Bungie is a little more creative with their names than that, but
yeah.
I don't know, it's speculation. I mean, they said maybe like a racetrack, but I don't really see how that could like transfer into kills and stuff, but I mean,
well, remember the and I can't believe I totally forgot the name of the new single man vehicle.
Yeah, the ATV,
the Mongoose, yeah. So I mean, it could be something with that too.
That'd be cool. Okay, Pinkilo 5 says the gadgets look amazing and include the following: a portable grav lift, or deployable grav lift, a trip mine, and a shield bubble.
It said grenade.
Yeah, he did. He
nice
broke
catch.
Cardinal
nice
rule.
Catch.
I actually looked ahead and saw that, so I changed it. The portable grav lift can toss the player about a good 10 feet into the air. The mine is powerful enough to take out a warthog and probably the shields on a tank. And the shield bubble is not static, but dynamic, and can roll and move with the ground, which we talked about earlier. From the look of it, you can't shoot in or out of it. Overall, the game looks amazing. The grenades remind me of Halo 1, and the new AR looks like a machine gun BR that does less damage. Looks like a great game.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the portable grav lift. Now, they didn't mention that in the Vidoc. What do you guys think about that? I mean, first of all, let's talk about how we noticed it and what the whole deal is about it.
And like I said, they don't leave nothing out for, you know, by mistake. They knew
they showed a. They showed a just a little, just like a 2 second thing while they were moving around.
Yeah.
Just a fight of high ground, and they show just a guy jumping on it, deploying it and jumping on it. And so a lot of people didn't notice that, and I think Frankie confirmed it on forums. Yeah, so that's interesting. Like, if you're getting shot by the turret, deploy that and maybe jump, and you can, you know, just get right on top of, right, you know, into the second level of high ground and not be on the beach anymore.
Yeah, it seems that with, like, these new things, like the deployable weapons, they're trying to get people to think about certain strategies that you can use that you never have been able to think of before in Halo 2. Like, there's nothing that you can use to get on, like, jump, like, deploy something and get somewhere that you originally can't get to unless you have that. So they're, like, really expanding and expecting Halo players to actually think more. Well, I know people don't want to think more, but if you want to win or you're serious, then you can develop some really good strategies from just these few deployable weapons that they're coming out with.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. And don't just think that the only way you're going to get up there is by using the deployable grav lift. There's another way around there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just takes more strategy. And like you said, you know, now there's an added depth of strategy added in there now with this deployable grav lift. So, I mean, do you waste it? You know, I mean, I'm sure those are decisions you got to make. Do you waste it and die by the turret, and then they pick it up? I mean, it's going to be a lot of interesting tactics going on now that they added that in there.
For sure. I mean, with the deployables, it seems like, you know, part of them are to be able to change the way you know, like mid-range battles fight to where you can deploy the shield grenade and and you know, also an additional offense slash defense option with the trip mine, which we'll cover in a little bit. Actually, you know, we didn't even talk about the trip mine, come to think of it.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, that looks pretty sweet. I mean, to be able to set that up, it looks like it's visible enough to where it's not going to be very effective on personnel, but like for vehicles, you know, it could come in really handy, or for defense of a base, you know, like right around a corner somewhere. You never know. You know, you can catch someone.
Yeah, because in the video, he's going to get run over, but he deploys it, and you know, it kills everybody at the same time.
Now, I wonder what the radius is of the blast. Like, how close you have to get to it to set it off, or do you have to walk right over it?
Yeah.
I think that could play a role, because I don't think it has to have some type of blast radius where you get near it and it explodes, because from the video, like, it looked big, but not, like, big enough where, like, a warthog would see it and then just, like, randomly run over it. Like, you'd have to try to run over that thing, I think. So yeah, there has to be some type of blast range.
In the video, it looked like he was holding a giant frisbee or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was just, you know, the camera angle and, you know, that it looks so big. I mean, it's the same problem with the bubble shield, you know.
Right.
Once again, that was the alpha. That wasn't even the beta. So hopefully, it looks prettier than that. But yeah, I mean, it has to be a certain radius that you're allowed to, you know, walk around it. And I'm sure you can only use one. So it's not like you can throw a bunch of them in front of your base. And, you know.
That's a question about deployables, too. You have deployables on the map. You have deployables that you can pick up and use. The question is, how many deployables? Is it like grenades where you can pick up a certain amount of each and then hold a certain amount of each? And then switch between them. I mean, most likely, in my opinion, it's probably you can just only pick up one deployable at a time. Mm-hmm. And once you use it, that's, you know, you have one slot for a deployable, basically.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to be spread out to where one team's not going to have all of them.
You right.
know? It's going to be a fight to get one. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be, you know, each one will be spread out. Probably evenly to where, you know, both teams could get at it probably at the same time, or maybe there's one on each side, kind of like with the Rockets, you know, in certain maps. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm sure one guy, you know, would have the shield, another guy would have, you know, you'd probably escort the other guy to get the trip mine.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's definitely going to be very... Like I said, it's going to add another depth of strategy. Those who say that, you know, this doesn't bring anything new to the field, I mean, I don't know what they're talking about.
So, about the trip mine, one thing I had, I was thinking about is, like, does this affect ghosts? Like, because, you know, they hover, but since it affects vehicles, do they hover right over it, or is it, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I doubt it, but, I mean, I doubt it's going to... I doubt ghosts are going to be able to fly right over them, but you know, I think they're going to definitely affect ghosts just the same way. Because I mean, if you want to justify it, like, you know, as far as like how it would actually work, you know, you got the repulsors kind of going down on the ghost that would trip the mine.
Yeah, so
you know.
It would trip it anyway.
So seems like that makes sense. Okay, let's get moving here on some other stuff. Hey, we got the something that nobody so far has mentioned is the dual wielding versus the assault rifle. As far as the, you know, that's a big thing they mentioned as far as the gameplay mechanic between Halo 2 that they didn't intend at all, but that ended up being that way and getting rid of the normal, like, golden three, as they called it, between the weapons, grenades, and meleeing. What do you guys think about that? You know, you think that's a good change as far as that? Another thing to throw into the mix there is that in the video, the assault rifle is used all over the place. I mean, part of that is probably because it starts out that way, but probably part of it is also because it's a pretty, you know, powerful weapon.
Well, one thing I have on it, with the dual wielding, I think with Halo 3, I can tell that they're starting to steer away from dual wielding a little bit. Because when you have the assault rifle, you have to actually go, when you had the SMG in Halo 2, I read this somewhere. Within like 5 seconds, you could find another dual-wieldable weapon. And with Halo 3, and you start out with the assault rifle, you have to go find a dual-wieldable weapon and then go and find another one just to dual-wield. So people will, I guarantee you, people will hardly use dual-wielding just because of the fact that it'll take them like a minute just to find two dual-wieldable weapons on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, and it also quickens the action. You know,
yeah.
If everybody has, you know, a capable gun instead of a SMG. I mean, with Halo 2, it kind of forced you to fight over the good weapons, which was, you know, which is fun. But in this one, it's going to force you into more tactics and you know, like, all right, who's going to get this, who's going to get that? And everybody starts out with, you know, an even weapon. And, you know, from the looks of the video, I mean, it looks like everyone was pretty much holding on to the assault rifle. So
yeah,
maybe, you know, it's going to be like the first Halo where, you know, the playing field was kind of even instead of just using SMG and having, you know, 3-hour SMG matches, you know, because nobody could kill each other.
Yeah, really?
That'd still be fun.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, a lot of people just don't like dual wielding. And I mean, yeah, I mean, to be truthful, it did look fun at first, but I mean, you know, at sometimes it gets a little cheesy, you know.
It's There's Bungie explained no real it well to it. They explained it well in the Vidoc. You know, it gets rid of with dual wielding. You can't very. Yeah. I mean, if you melee, you lose one of the weapons. So you know, it's meleeing and grenading are pretty much out. It's a matter of just who starts spraying your weapons first. You know, and that was the problem before the auto update, especially because of the grenades being gimped out, and it was just a matter of just getting up to someone and dual wielding and start spraying before they do, and whoever starts spraying first wins. And it's just it makes for kind of a very non-tactical kind of, if that's a word, it's non-tactical kind of gameplay experience, you know. So yeah, it definitely makes more sense the way they're going, and I definitely applaud them for moving back towards kind of their roots with Halo 1 and the gameplay mechanic that was with grenades, meleeing, and firing. I guess we should move on to the next one here.
Yeah.
Let me just catch that. I guess I'm going to skip to Sports 209. He says, first of all, I think trip mines are a great idea. I thought of something like them that would be cool before. The shield grenade is going to be fun to play with. I think the shield grenade will be hurt by fire and not invincible. I think the Gravla thing will be the thing someone posted pictures of on Halo Grid, where the guy jumped in one, like, appeared from nowhere and whacked the guy in the turret. Okay, I didn't see that, but I think 3 weeks is way less than I expected for the beta. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people agree with you on that. But it will be long enough, considering that, you know, that's all I'm going to be doing, pretty much. Or am I? The world may never know. I'm going to end up sharing the beta with a few friends, because they won't just sit there and watch, and we'll probably steal the controller. The time from when Halo 2 maps are released to the time the beta comes out, I am going to be playing the Halo 2 maps. What looked really cool is not the gameplay, but the ability to play back clips, slow them down, and freeze the screen. Yeah, definitely. I've always wanted to view that kind of stuff, but I never did buy a capture card, and will make sure to look at the water. Frankie.
Nah.
I guess I can stop checking Bungie.net every day, hoping for the beta to come out now, since we know. And also, I got into the beta via Rule of Three, and again, when I bought Crackdown just for the game, it would be cool if I could download the beta, have my friend sign in on his free 30-day Xbox Live Gold account, put in Crackdown, and both of us could play the beta on separate gamer tags, or guests could sign in. That's a good question. They haven't addressed that. But I doubt that would happen. By the way, his gamer tag is Sports209, and here we go. Yeah, so the replays. What do you guys think about that, man? Is that cool or what?
I think it's a feature that I really enjoyed watching. And I think a lot of the MLG players are really going to enjoy that too. It's going to be really useful for video on demand and learning tactics and stuff, that you can get an overview of the whole map, or, you know, see what these two guys are doing together and how they're communicating, what to do here. And I think it's really going to be a useful feature, and it's also going to be a cool feature for montages if you're able to record it anyway.
Yeah.
And if someone says, oh, there's no way you killed me there, well, let's go back and review the tapes, right?
Yep.
Is like whenever you get like a crazy stick or something, or like a kiltacular, whatever, you can just, if you're recording, that is, we don't know much details about how you record or how long or whatever, but you can go back to the pregame lobby and show the people in there like what you did, and that's something that I am one of the main things I'm looking forward to, depending on how they set it up. I hope they do a good job with it, but that's the main thing, one of the main things that I want to see.
Well, to me, it could be an annoying feature as well. I remember playing NFL 2K5, and a friend of mine scored a touchdown, and all he kept doing was hitting the replay, rewinding, fast forward.
I know that feeling.
So, hopefully this, you know, maybe they give you one replay, you know, per kill.
Yeah, I'm sure they give you an option. Time limit or something. If the person sends you it, you can accept, deny, or like deny forever or something.
Thing I want to see, you know, be online and some, you know, nubcake just keeps, you know, rewinding and fast forward, you know, a melee or something.
And like, oh, yeah, boy.
Like that?
Double kill.
Oh, yeah, that's me. That's me.
Oh, no scope shotgun, baby. Yeah, but
shotgun.
Yeah, see, the question is like, that's what that's the thing. Is like, can you send this to people? Like, can you just look in your friends list and say, send this replay to so and so? Or can you, like, is it just after the game, play replay back, and, you know, do you accept viewing this replay? Or how's it going to work? You know, I hope you can just send it to people in your friends list and you can view replays that people send you. That would be freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It'd be cool if you could do something like put it up for Marketplace where people can buy, like, you know, craziest, you know, anthology of sticks ever, and people could download it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. I mean, it's possible.
Hopefully you don't have to pay for it.
I know.
Yeah,
I would not pay to watch someone else playing Halo 3.
Yeah, I don't think... I know. Probably just a free download.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
real. I'm going to read Wavelicious real quick. He says that he thinks that the deploy equipment means things like trip mine and the bubble shoot. He says Halo 3 beta looks sweet. Well, it's going to be sweet. This is the reason why I wanted to read this. He goes, I really need to get cracked down now. Keep on fragging Venus Masters. Now, if you've been listening to the past episodes, we do have a Crackdown giveaway with the Halo 3 beta in there.
Yep.
So make sure you read the rules and participate in the contest so we can give this game away already. I got 3 sitting at home, and I still can't give them away. Come on, dudes.
One more week,
you
guys.
Want to play Halo 3 beta?
Next week, we're giving it away. So if you have the best joke from the Podtacular podcast, if you want to call it in, reback the top. What is it? 3 jokes, right? Reback 3 jokes from a previous Podtacular podcast. And if it's the best one, if it cracks us up the most, then you win and we will send you one. We're going to play it back on the show. You can call in and say, hey, that was mine. You know, hopefully there's not more than one person that does that.
I know.
But, you know, send us we'll figure that out. You can send us audio samples. We'll figure it out. And, yeah, so if you guys want to get a free copy, man, there's your chance.
Good way to
do
it. So,
or $200, you know, a bribe would work.
Whoa! $200. Nice. Or a new car, or whatever you want.
All right, so German man says, to start off, I forgive you for not getting to my last submission, on episode 108. Okay.
Thanks.
But anyway, I just recently. Okay, now we're forgiven. We can all chill out. Okay, now my conscience is clear. I know. All right.
I feel much better now.
But anyway, I just recently watched the new vid doc, and I'm so friggin' excited. Bam, bam. I think almost.
Bam.
Yeah. Bam.
Bam. Bam.
Bam. Bam.
Bam. Bam.
The strip mines and bubble shields look pretty sweet. And about the map look pretty badass, considering I still don't have a 360 for Xbox One. Keep on fragging weenuses.
Oh, weenuses, recurring theme.
Yeah, the weenus episode.
That was the weenus episode. You guys said a ton.
Yeah, we've had the weenus master, who has not been seen since.
I know, man.
Oh, man.
He's off holding weenuses, man.
Okay, this is one of Brent Gamer's infamous comments. I read it earlier. It's pretty funny.
All right, cool.
On April 10th, 2007, Bungie released a storm of Halo 3 beta information onto its adoring fans. Many of those fans are reported to have passed out on the spot after reading the Bungie article, while others had to change their pants due to various excrements leaking through their underwear.
Various? There'd be more than one?
Yeah, I know, right? Because they're a different type.
Okay, okay, guys, Brent Gamer's different. Don't bag on him. Don't bag on him.
I'm sweating, man. I'm sweating.
even worse reports state that some young men, why not older men, were forced to wear their sister's jeans because they didn't have a clean pair of pants to change into. I think they need to get a new wardrobe.
Only young men.
But after the tragedies brought on by the excitement of this joyous occasion subsided, the community was left to ponder and debate the information about the beta given to us by Frankie and the multiplayer vid doc. I have successfully gathered the information from these debates, and I have put them into this report. One, Frankie's statement about the X button being used for equipment deployment obviously proves my theory that the button will open up a hatch in your Spartan's metal underoos, allowing him to take a whiz on an unsuspecting rock or dead enemy.
Replays on that one, man. Nice. Oh, hey, you like that?
Now, that is one that I will buy off Marketplace if I see this.
Yeah.
That's the new teabag.
You have to pee. Open up your underoos and pee on an unsuspecting rock.
Whiz kill.
Whiz-tacular.
Achievement unlocked.
Take a whiz on an unsuspecting rock.
Whiz on 100 rocks.
Whiz, whiz.
I could picture the rock going, "Hey, I'm an unsuspecting rock here. Give me a bone."
The bubble shield, number two, the bubble shield runs off of beach volleyball technology. This tech simulates a nerd walking down the beach holding an inflatable volleyball, thus preventing anyone from wanting to touch him, or smell him for that matter.
Oh my god.
I could, you know, going back to the whiz, I can picture somebody dying from the Guardians while taking a whiz.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
That would hurt.
That'd be interesting.
Alright, number three.
Okay, number three. Portable grav lifts will act as the Viagra of the future. supplementing the man cannon in effectiveness.
Nice.
Oh, God. Please contact your doctor if the man can remains in upright position for more than 4 hours. That's my favorite part in the whole post right there.
Please contact your doctor.
Because every commercial says that.
In upright position for more than 4 hours.
And then it takes like an hour to get connected to someone. Number four. When a Spartan steps on a trip mine, a minigame sequence begins in which the Spartan must play a game of Minesweeper in his HUD to prevent being blown up. Too bad your enemy will have already assassinated you by then. These features and more will be fully playable on the public beta starting May 16th. Thank you for the date.
Thank you very much there, Brent Gamer.
That was great. That made my night.
Excellent reporting, Brent.
Yes, BG. That was awesome.
What? Yeah. Who's up?
All right.
Oh, wow.
Wow, what was that, a lion?
Lion.
Oh, you guys could hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, I'll take Renegade.
Was that a lion? Yeah, man, I got a lion over here. Shut up.
I actually keep one right next to me. I don't have a gun, I have a lion.
Rah.
Have you ever seen Grandma's Boy?
No. Oh, yeah.
Where he talks about the lion.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty crazy.
All right, so Renegade N says, Okay, first of all, you notice around 2 minutes and 45 seconds into the video that it reveals the name of a new map and game type. The map was called Warthog Inc., which could indicate the Warthog Factory of some sort, which might turn to be an interesting small map if done right, which also brings me to my next point. In one of the past WWWs, they did a profile of the UNSC Warthog. In this profile, they mentioned detachable weapons on the Warthog. In the first few seconds of the VidDoc, the blues attached the base on high ground. You notice that, in fact, one of the blue Spartans attacking the base is wielding a Warthog machine gun. See, priest. So, this can make a map.
What?
No.
What?
What?
This can make a map pretty sweet with detachable Warthog parts around. Could this indicate the return of the Rocket Hog from Halo PC? Maybe.
I'm glad you knew what I was saying, dude.
Dude, they're like, "Wow, that's pretty funny. What are you talking about?
What is it? What?
What? Uh-huh.
Detachable weenus."
Oh, God.
This was a song many years ago.
Yeah, it was a song.
It was on the radio, dude.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so
what do you think of that? Kimo, why don't you
do it?
I don't know. I think it should have some kind of like battery if you ever detach something. Like, I think it like kind of like the sword in campaign.
Single player? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if you hit someone for this, you know, the more bullets you waste, the more battery you lose, something like that.
I think this is what's gonna happen. You take the turret out of the Warthog, you disattach it from its ammo resource. Yeah. You disattach it.
Close enough.
it doesn't have the infinite ammo it would on like it would if it was on the Warthog. So I'm assuming you probably get a default amount of bullets on the turret. And then once that's, you know, exhausted, then you get rid of it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
And maybe they could do something where if you're holding it, you walk slow, like if you're carrying a bomb or something, because it's such a big weapon. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is he wielding it, or does he have like a turret or something?
No, he has a Tommy gun.
Like in Predator with Jesse the Body Ventura, who's like, "I ain't got time to bleed.
I got time to bleed."
He's on the freaking A-10 Warthog, like minigun, like on his side. You know, the thing's probably like 350 pounds.
Yeah.
But what was funny was that somebody on, you know, all over the forums, people just, boom, they found that, and they're like, "What is that?" And some people were like, "That's the brute shot." And they were like, "No, that's not." So finally,
yeah, I remember one of the brutes in the first vid doc that they did, the Et-2 brute one, that one of them was wielding one of those turrets that you couldn't pick up in Halo 2.
Yeah.
Like that purple one.
Yep.
Everyone was like, "Oh, it's a new sniper and stuff," but it was one of the turrets that they had on the ground. So I guess for both the Covenants and the humans, you can now use the turret, both turrets on like weapons.
Cool. Right. I mean, they've already featured that twice, so it seems like they're really intent on putting that into the gameplay. So.
And you know what I'm wondering? If you can actually use the X button, right, to pick up these weapons, right, off the turret, you know, off the Warthog, whatever, and whatever you have, whatever deployed weapon you have in your inventory, it forces you to get rid of it.
I mean, maybe
that would be fair, because I mean, come on, you got a turret and then you're gonna throw a bubble shield.
I think you'd have to be limited to like one deployable item, like per, like you can only hold one of the things, because then someone could just get all of them, and first of all, that wouldn't be realistic, because you couldn't put, like, the bubble shield and the trip mine, like, on yourself, and then carry around the turret, you'd be, like, in ground.
Well, yeah, they'll because the size out. Of the size of the turret, and I think me and you were talking about this last night, Fumo, that there should hopefully be some animation, depending on the size of the weapon. It takes you longer to switch weapons because of the size and the weight.
Yeah.
Maybe to even out the gameplay.
It's a possibility. I mean, one thing I would hope they do is in the Vidoc, you don't see, like, when people switch weapons, they instantly have the next weapon. And hopefully they do some kind of animation, you know, to switch weapons, especially since they go through the trouble of having the secondary weapon on your back. I mean, come on, you know, go grab the weapon and switch it out with the other weapon, you know? Mm-hmm. I assume Bungie's going to do this, so, I mean, it's not like I'm faulting like him for this. It's an alpha, you know, I understand it's pre-release, yeah, with Gears of War, right. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a time issue where it affects the gameplay, but at least have some kind of animation. Same thing with picking up weapons, you know, actually pick up the weapon would be nice, and to be able to deploy deployables. You know, have some kind of animation to show them deploying instead of just it shooting out of your chest. Pew! You know?
Yeah, but think of it, like, let's say you have the rockets and you have, you know, six, you know, rockets, you know, you have it full. Let's say you're walking around with a, you know, how everybody likes to trick people into getting into a close combat fight. You have a little pistol on you, then you jump back, and you know the routine. You jump back, boom, you got the rockets, and you blow them up.
Right.
Well, let's say you can't do that anymore because you jump, you have, you know, wait till the animation and you know, because of the size, you know, it takes you a little longer and gives your enemy who has an inferior weapon, you know, a slight chance to kill you. Mm-hmm. Instead of you just instantly whipping out the, you know, the rocket launcher and killing somebody.
That's a thought. I might get a little crazy, you know, with you know, is this a heavier weapon? Is this, how much is this going to affect me based on, you know, if I'm holding two heavy weapons, will that affect my, you know, my movement and things like that? It could get a little crazy with that, but we'll see mm-hmm. how they go. Let's get to another one here so we can move along.
Mm-hmm. Move along.
Hello.
All right.
What's up?
All right, I'm going to go with, well, did we finish Renegade? Because he had quite a few things here. No?
Okay, I'll finish it. He talks a little about the game Escort, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so he also says, one thing that I'm not sure many people will talk about is this awesome quality of the audio for the new Halo 3. The first time I watched the vid doc, I was astounded at the awesome multiplayer happenings appearing in the front of my eyes. But after watching it multiple times, I realized that what really sunk into me was the awesome new audio I was hearing. Marty has done it again. The audio was spectacular from the new falling in animations and death animations to gun sounds and grenade explosions. It blew my mind away. If you can't already guess, I'm stoked about this beta. Cannot wait to get my hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is actually something that I talked about in something I sent in. I talked about the just like after watching it a ton of times, the one of the main things that I noticed was the new sounds of every weapon has a new sound. All the grenade explosions and everything, and just like the overall sound of the entire game was just mm-hmm. like such an improvement from Halo 2 and Halo 1 that like that in my mind is huge because audio like what I hear on Major Nelson's podcast all the time, he's like a big audio guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like audio, like you never really no one ever really talks about that much. But it's like a really underlying feature of a game that can make you like it or dislike it. Like Crackdown,
absolutely.
Crackdown's audio was really good, which helped people enjoy it more. And Halo 3, I think, audio will also bring people that may not have played it before into it just because of the sounds they're hearing that they've never heard before.
Yeah, you take Call of Duty 2. I mean, that had some of the best audio that I've ever heard in the game. I mean, just the, you know, different. I mean, you can hear. I mean, I didn't have surround sound, but you could still tell like where people were coming from, and I mean, there was so much going on, and the sounds were realistic. So yes, audio is definitely part of the next gen. I mean, you can't leave Halo 3 with the same sounds of Halo 2. It just won't go. So yes, I mean For sure, you know they're gonna work on that. I mean,
right?
And it did sound good. I mean,
it was definitely a noticeable improvement. Me too. I was like, man, the audio is amazing on this. You know, even outside of the music, even if they took away the soundtrack, the you know, the sounds of the weapons and the grenades and all the movement and everything and all the action going on was really a noticeable step up. So that was great. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they revealed that but they didn't necessarily mention specifically was the bridge map with the underlevel shortcuts that is reminiscent of Assault on the Control Room from Halo 1. Yes. Did you guys notice this? What did you think of it?
Yeah, in one up they were showing it and they got they paused it and they were like, wow, look at it looks like shortcuts and passageways and a possible gravity bridge. Mm-hmm. That you power on and you can use underneath the main bridge.
Kind of like the bridge from Deport 3 Guilty Spark in Halo 1 that you can turn on and off.
Right.
Yes. So
I was really excited to see that because that's actually one of my favorite parts in Halo 1. That was definitely my favorite level. When I first saw that, it's immediately recognizable. And I was really glad to see that they added maybe some more levels, not just that one bridge. So that could it could bring. I'm not sure actually if it's a multiplayer or a campaign because it seems like it'd be a campaign, but I guess it could port over well into multiplayer.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was just like a complete video documentary on the multiplayer. But I like this. I like the level design. Like I think what they're gonna do is have two bases. Like in the control room, you'd always go through the level and you'd be inside those. I know it's like really common. And some people didn't like that in the level because it was every other turn you'd be in the same type of room as before. But I don't know if you guys remember the room with like the lights and the arrows to go through the door.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd start there. Both teams would start on opposite sides, and I think it's going to be a good like CTF territories and stuff type map.
It all depends. I'm assuming it all depends on the different game types. Like you look at a Perfect Dark, it started you on each team on a different base, and it forced you to go out of teleport almost into the action, which kind of prevented from spawn killing. But I mean, with Halo 2, I mean there was no problems because the random respawns. So I'm assuming they're gonna do the same thing, but maybe there's gonna be certain game types that are gonna force teams to start at a different end inside of a base.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. You could have some crazy, rush the, across the bridge to get the other person's flag moments and take it back. That could provide some really fun, gameplay.
Because it did show them. It did show like the gravity ball. I mean the shield bubble sitting on top of the pillar.
Yeah.
And it looked like that was a part of the bridge.
It also showed some sections where people were picking up a flag on a CTF game, a couple different shots of that, and it showed the upper level and the lower level of the bridge, which makes it interesting. It's kind of like a linear map in a way. It goes from one end to the other, but what's cool is you have multiple levels, so it makes it more of a wide area map, but linear at the same time because you can look up and down and see what's going on above you and below you and etc. And you have that really cool gravity bridge going across the bottom area. If you want to get all the way across on the bottom, you have to walk this like tightrope basically, where you have no walls on either side, and it can be switched on and off, apparently. I mean, there's no indication of that clearly in the video, but we're assuming it can be switched on and off. Maybe they can switch it off from the other side. Who knows? But, someone's coming, switch it off quick, Have someone fall down or whatever. But in any case, you can fall down on either side, and you're going down a small area. You can't exactly dodge any sidestep any bullets. So, you're kind of walking the gamut there, so... It looks way cool, man. It looks like a phantom. What a great idea to put that map in Halo 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're bringing in... I mean, I'm going to sound dorky here, but it looks like they're bringing more Forerunner-based maps in Halo 3. And of course, that's one of the main things from Halo 1 was, those gravity bridges, that you had to use at certain maps. And why not bring it into multiplayer action? I mean, it definitely brings a whole new, like it's you take the chance of using it. So like you said, there's nowhere to hide once you're on it. So I'm assuming that that could be a possible shortcut, you know, in that map. And it's like a risky shortcut.
Exactly. Yeah, so...
another example of a strategic thing they're implementing.
For sure.
So I'm going to go with Cramsey. He says, after watching the new VidDoc and the new Vision Aug... Okay. The bubble shield got thinking.
Vision Aug.
Aug.
I think you mean on, but
yeah. We will be able to shoot out. He goes. Will we be able to shoot out? Shoot out of it when active. If so. Will it equal an entire team stocking up on the bubble shield? And having an easy walk across the map. Okay, and it's kind of like we talked about a little earlier. I'm assuming they're not going to put it where you can shoot out. I mean, that would be totally unfair. But yeah, the amount, I mean, exactly how it's going to, you can counter that. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a way.
So it'll probably last so you can, recharge your shields and get set, or maybe, last long so you can communicate to your team, hey, help me out here. This guy's going to kill me when this, when the shield finishes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So. Yeah, I mean, you could have the flag, throw the flag down, deploy the bubble shield, and then, wait around till there's some help.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't wait.
For sure, man. Okay, let's go on to Apotheosis, actually, who says, okay, wow, it is now the time.
Wow!
Okay, wow, it is no. He says, okay. He spelled it that way. Okay, wow, it is now the time to get officially psyched for Halo 3, as if you weren't already. Dude, I agree, man. There's this guy at my work who can't wait for Forza, and he saw this video, and he's like, oh my gosh, I gotta go practice on Halo 2, because he's in the impression that, first-person shooters are more, mouse and keyboard-oriented. Well, this is one of those things that just kind of says... hey, in case you haven't noticed, first-person shooters have, in fact, evolved. And, they are very much viable on a controller. So much to the point where people would rather play Halo 2 on Halo 2 Vista. They'd rather play it with a controller than they would with a keyboard because they're used to it. Mm-hmm. And they can handle it, So, anyway, he says, there's way too much awesome stuff for me to fit into one message, which is true. So, I'll just get to what I think is cool. Number one, the bubble shield. Okay, so, based purely on the size of the thing, I think it'll be one of the deployable weapons that Frankie was talking about, and not a grenade. I think the last grenade slot will be filled by the trip mines. I think it's pretty clear the trip mines and bubble shield will both be deployables. He says, I think that there will also be 1 to 2 per map, depending on the size and such, and that they possibly might take up a weapon slot. Weapon slot, grenade, deployable, make up your mind. I think that this would be fair, as based on the alpha footage we've seen, the radius of the shield can easily cover a well-coordinated team. I don't know, I'm thinking maybe 4 people at most, if you duck down, if the other 3 people. So it would make sense that one person would sacrifice a weapon to pick it up instead of a weapon. So, yeah, you have weapons, you have equipment.
Yeah. While it is handy to have that, it's certainly going to leave you vulnerable when it finally, runs out and you have, the whole team waiting for you for this bubble to pop. dude.
You can talk strategy inside the bubble.
Yeah.
You go left, I'll go right.
Dude, the bubble's going to pop, buddy.
all gets out their pencils and, ready to pop the bubble.
Yeah, really.
Pop the bubble.
Okay, here.
Pop the bubble.
Here's the question though, if the bubble does not normally deplete eventually, right? Let's say for instance, as an example, the bubble does not just run out of time. So the thing is, I think that it would still be viable balance because you can't just run around with the bubble easily. You can't just carry it around with you. So you have to carefully kick it, and it's really cumbersome and a pain in the butt. So you can't just kick it and have someone follow around behind you very easily.
Yeah.
So The thing is like if someone deploys a bubble and they're having trouble kicking it around, people can just surround them and then just, you know, roll in on them and stick them or whatever, or just melee them or whatever it is. So I think either way, you know, however they balance it, I'm sure they'll, you know, do a good job in balancing it right. But even if it's not destroyable and it's just infinitely, you can just turn it off and then grab it yourself, I think it might still work. It's a thought anyway.
Exactly. Right, and if you think about it, there's not much you can do with the bubble because, as we said before, you can't shoot out of it, and it's hard to control where it goes. So, I mean, the most you could do if the bubble lasted forever is, I mean, like, nudge people. You really wouldn't be able to do anything. So, I mean, I think really relies on the other team getting rid of the bubble shield instead of you.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's just going to recharge your shields and go from there.
Right.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I remember in the Monday Night Football commercial when he deployed the shield and it went off after the Wraith hit, you know, made contact. I'm wondering if you can deactivate it yourself after, you know, taking fire. And, you know, once you do that, you know, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
We'll see.
Good question. Alrighty. Okay, let's move on. Here. T says, I personally really like what Bungie is doing with the bubble shield, mine and grab
pity
head.
Bungie.
All three.
We can't even move on. We're like, I pity the fool.
The noob. Okay. All three of these will make players have to rethink strategies and unlock a completely new style of gameplay. Now, campers will not have as easy of a time because if they start shooting you in the back, you can use the bubble shield, granted you have one. Mm-hmm. Strategies for planting the bomb and capturing the flag will be altered because of the capabilities of the grav pad. In the vid doc, a player that used the grav pad was able to go high enough to land on the bridge with the turret on high ground. Defenses will now need you to be more aware that new wall scaling capabilities are possible. The mine is another great weapon that can be used with the game-changing effects. In Halo 2, you need to be able to have someone who could be responsible for every entrance and exit. But now you can cover an entrance by laying a mine there, which in turn disables use of quick in and outs by vehicles. That's a very good point. Even if they avoid the mine or get out of the vehicle, you'll probably have ample time to recover and get ready for the assault. Keep up the good work, guys. You are the Roxors, and the shout out and a shout out to all of Recce. Okay, I really like he did make a good point about laying mines down.
Mm-hmm.
If you get one, like if there's some type of map, because I'm sure there will be, like where there's for instance, the one you're talking about from with assault on the control room. There's if you have like capture the flag, it's probably gonna be in one of the buildings where in turn you can lay a trip mine in front of the door or something or right behind it. So if the team tries to walk in, and this can be applied to any map really, team walks in, they walk over it, and that can be huge. Another example of Bungie's attempt to make Halo 3 a strategic game. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm wondering if there'll be. What you do if it's capture the flag and you lay a trip mine on the flag.
Right.
I wonder what that would be like.
I would expect you can probably blow up the mine with grenades
Yeah, you could probably shoot it, yeah.
True.
You could probably shoot it.
But putting it in the way of like a choke point where vehicles have to get through if they're trying to do a vehicle rush would be really cool.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
which would definitely, you know, you would have to have one guy go and shoot, you know, kind of scout the area and it would slow some of that stuff down a little bit. But he did mention something. If I can find it, then I would. Where he said that, you know, people will have to defend, you know, change their defense due to the portable grav lift. Now, I'm assuming if you have the bomb or the flag and you want to, like, jump on top of your base, I'm assuming you're not going to be able to. You know, deploy a grav lift, but I'm wondering if your teammate throws it down, if you can use it, or it just has to be for that individual.
I'm sure it's public. I mean, like, I'm sure it's for anyone to use.
But how long would it last? I mean, it would be kind of unfair if you throw it down and it just remains there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's something like you can shoot it a bunch of times and it might blow up or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like a you know, just like a regular, you know, object in the environment where you can destroy it. So.
Mm-hmm. Either that or maybe it runs out of battery life or something, though.
Mm. Maybe.
Well, hey, right, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we get to the parts I highlighted and read on the show notes, where it is mm-hmm. the stuff that the comments that the topics we want to make sure to cover that Bungie has recently talked about or that have recently been revealed by, you know, more investigation by the gaming community on stuff with Halo 3, with the Halo 3 beta, with the Vidoc and things like that. So. Let me just, I guess, do the next one here. One thing we haven't talked about yet is the hangar map in the very first part.
Mm-hmm.
1UP talked about it like the gym map or something like that, where mm-hmm. it kind of looks like there's almost like a basketball hoop in the back end. But I think it looks, you know, pretty clear, like an airline or airplane hangar, rather.
Yeah.
To where, you know, but it has a whole bunch of ramps inside and things like that, a whole bunch of geometry set up inside, architecture, to where, you know, there's a whole level of multiple levels going on inside where people can go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't, it's not clear what that whole level looks like, because it's not like we saw it from that many different angles to determine the whole layout.
And it also looked very new relative to the other ones. It's a lot of placeholder textures, and it's just basic geometry right now.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not as finished as the other ones, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, which was something else we didn't talk about, the graphics.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at the graphics.
When you compare it, I know, look at the graphics. When you compare this video to the Brute one, I mean, they're saying it's alpha build. I mean, wow. I mean, it looks very
This looks like a beta for a lot of games.
A lot of other games. They're saying like the terrain and stuff is going to remain in the final product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, but I mean, wow! I mean, I saw some close-up shots, and you know, look pretty nice, pretty nice,
very nice.
It's very nice.
Okay, so we moved on from castle. Schwarzenegger to Borat, Ali G.
Wabba weewa, wabba weewa.
High five!
King of the castle.
Yeah, extra time. Yeah. Obviously, there's a few things here that repeat themselves, like the deployable turrets and stuff.
Yeah.
There was one here that somebody put about two-handed needler.
Yeah.
And possible the assault rifle one hand.
Well, that one, let me just clarify, because I put that down, is that there was a short shot that I'm sure you saw, JB, where they have a guy running in Snowbound, and he's holding the needler with two hands. One is like a support, kind of like a pistol. And so, mm-hmm. other than that, the needler seems the same so far, but this is obviously an alpha build. We'll see it later when we have more details about it. But, you know, Bungie has talked about how they want to beef up the needler and make it like a real two-handed weapon that's viable to use,
yeah.
Unlike it was in Halo 1 and subsequently in Halo 2, despite how they promised it would be better.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm sure they've learned from, hopefully, the second time now, and realizing that the needler is crap and it really needs a revamp. So mm-hmm. we'll see how that turns out. But the one-handed, I just wanted to mention on that, was that the only time the assault rifle was used one-handed was when the guy was riding Brokeback, as Bungie likes to call it, on the back of the mongoose there, hanging on with one hand and then firing with the other, with the assault rifle. So the question is, like, is that going to affect accuracy? Is that going to affect the reticle?
Yeah, I mean...
it'll
probably be the same as Halo 1. If you remember, when you got into the side seat, it went into first person mode.
Right.
They changed that in Halo 2 to third person, which made it a lot more difficult. But it'll probably be the same thing, where, you know, it's really hard to control. But I'm sure you can, you know, hit someone if the driver is good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing we I don't see any mention of it. Is besides Brent Gamer, the man cannon. They finally showed what it's all about.
Yeah.
From the looks of it, do you think it's a disadvantage to actually get on there? I mean,
depends if it's a sniper.
It could provide some crazy things. Like, you could throw grenades while you're up there onto, you know, people below you that are trying to shoot you. I mean, it could provide for some, you know, awesome moments where you snipe down while, you know, jetting out from this thing. Or
sticking people in the air.
It'd probably, if you think about it, it's probably the same thing as the grab lift on Ascension, where, you know, it's a predetermined path that it just sends you on, and you're very vulnerable, but also gives you that, you know, advantage of being above everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's a good way to travel the map.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, it's they were talking in the 1UP thing about also how you can push the explodable,
canisters.
Yeah, the canisters. There's one right above the man cannon that you can push down and launch it off. You know, so maybe you can use that as kind of a decoy, so the sniper's focusing on that. But you know what I was going to say is that this kind of reminds me of the same situation where if you're getting in a vehicle, you know, if you're paying attention to it, someone's going to say, hey, do they have rockets? Because you know how rockets in Halo 2, you can lock on, and it's just so easy to destroy vehicles that first you're going to say, do they have rockets? If they don't, okay, I'll go drive in this vehicle. If they do, I should probably hold off and try to get a better weapon and try to take out the rocket guy first and get his rockets. So it reminds me of the same thing. It's like if you're running the man cannon, wait, do they have a sniper out there? You know, because if they do, they can take out the guy who's launching the man cannon. So
that's definitely. It's funny that you mentioned rockets because I haven't. Now that you mention it, I didn't notice it on the video, and they haven't mentioned
anything about the rockets either.
Maybe they're leaving that as a surprise because they said they were going to do something with the rockets a little differently. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Rock Tard, he actually mentioned the fusion course by the man cannon. Also, some broken trees and crashed pelican. I don't know, that's just scenery, or you can actually destroy trees. I mean,
that'd be cool. That'd be cool to have, like, completely, like,
destructible
certain boundaries, of course, like, destructible environment.
Mm-hmm. That would actually affect, you know.
Yeah, that actually affects the gameplay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd
be and actually, I want to give a little shout out to Rocktard because he's pretty new to the forums, and he's been dedicating a lot of time to the ARK forums, and we appreciate it.
So. Yeah, he's always sending in stuff, and like I said last week, I apologize for calling him Rock Turd accidentally.
I remember I laughed at that.
He actually he brings up a good point about equipment and using the D-pad. Mm-hmm. He says that I think that the D-pad would be used to select what equipment you use, left for bubble shield, right for the strip mine, etc. I think that it would be really interesting because if you think about it, for Halo 2, a lot of the button like combinations, like you hold, you press, you know, the black button to switch grenades.
What was that?
Is that a burp or a fart, man?
I'm not holding. No, it's not. I don't do it on purpose. It's like.
You didn't answer my question.
It was a burp. It was a burp.
All right.
I have a pet frog. It's not me, right?
It was a frog.
It's a frog.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting, but, I don't know, it seems like there's a lot of, I mean, like, with all these new features, the button, the controller is gonna get really crowded with, you know, if you do, you hold this button, it does this, and, but just this button does this, and these two buttons does this other thing, and, I don't know, I think the D-pad would be interesting, but I don't know. It might get too confusing.
Yeah, you know they're going to use the D-pad.
Yeah.
They're definitely going to use the D-pad.
I think it's going to be for an entirely different thing.
You know, they got the bumper buttons, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So the D-pad will be used.
Yeah, I think it's going to be for an entirely different thing. I think you can only carry one deployable at a time, and there's going to be a whole lot of features. Frankie's already said there's a whole lot of cards that we haven't shown, you know, to you guys yet. And there's a lot of details about Halo 3 when it comes out that's going to be much improved over, like, as far as complexity in the game, that's going to be a whole lot more than the beta, you know, even as cool as the beta is going to be, which we're really pumped about. So, hey, let's get to a few more before we wrap it up here. We got the notifications that are going to be in the game as far as, or at least in the Vidoc that we saw, where it says it shows specifically where people were killed, for instance, the porta potty. ore, mm-hmm. Camp Froman, you know, stuff like that. And also there's going to be icons for the medals that show up, like so-and-so killed so-and-so, and then it has, like, the icon for a beatdown or a, you know, no-scope or whatever it is. So.
Cool.
Kind of like Call of Duty 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really like the new, like, place of where they put the medals.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know. It's I guess it's just my eyes or my preference, but I really like the on the side where it's, like, out of the way and stuff, and you see it.
So mm-hmm. We also got the Halo 1 pistol. What do you guys think about that?
Well, one thing I noticed, like, whenever I saw it in the vid doc, like, and towards the beginning, I noticed that, like, you remember in Halo 2 that the pistol in Halo 2, it was, like, it had a little bit of a pop to it, but it was, like, really quick succession and didn't really do much damage. It looked like, to me at least, in the vid doc, that it had more pop to it and more pizzazz, and looks like it could deal more damage, but not as much as Halo 1, like, not the three headshots and you're dead, because they know that will just mess it up, but it had, I think it was, like, probably in between the Halo 2 pistol and the Halo 1 pistol, which I think is a good balance.
Mm-hmm. It's probably, I mean, it's definitely going to be, you know, not as strong as the battle rifle, but I'm sure they're going to, you know, revamp it up a little from the Halo 2, because the Halo 2, you saw pistols like, you know, well, I might as well just single-wield SMG and hope for a beatdown. I'm not even going to grab that. It was kind of like, you know, a weapon that seemed really unnecessary.
Yeah, unless you had the noob combo.
Right. And that actually brings me to the battle rifle, which they showed just, you know, a quick... They showed some glimpses of someone firing it and, you know, just third-person views of that also. And it looked really neat. It looks like a little bigger... than it was, and it looks like it has like another like addition to the actual like structure of it, so it that looks cool.
Definitely a different shape to it.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to have different types of guns now, more rifles, because before it was always one.
Yeah,
now there's actually two, so. two human
Plug.
Yeah.
No.
Humans. Humans. It, those rifles have a mass effect going on.
Rated ET.
Oh, man. They're fluid like food.
Man, those beatdowns, you'll look like you could crack down someone's...
Nah. It's like you had a Bioshock run through your body.
You'd be playing those things like a Guitar Hero, man. All right. Well, yeah, that's why don't we go ahead and wrap it up here? We got a lot of more stuff people sent in. Appreciate you guys sending stuff in.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
be sure to send stuff in the future. We, you know, definitely the earlier you get it in, the more likely it is to be in the show. And we got plenty this time. So, yeah,
get it in early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't forget, April 17th are the new Halo 2 maps, and Halo 2 Vista is in May 6th. And, of course, May 16th is the Halo 3 beta, but it's only up till June 6th.
And before we go, I was just scrolling down, and I saw one of the comments for the Halo 2 maps. Mm-hmm. Just the guy's name, Food Nipple Grunt.
No!
Nice.
Food Nipple Grunt. Be such an awesome name.
Oh, nice.
Here's to that one.
Yeah. Food Nipple Grunt. And one thing real quick. I'm not going to make this too long. There's been a few... UncleGamer.com, there's been this big debate about Halo 2, the Halo franchise being overhyped. And that's the only reason why it's successful. And this show proves that no, the Halo franchise is not overhyped and it's not forced down our throats. Look at the amount of material we have to talk about, and we still can't even completely read everything.
Oh yeah,
not even close.
They also have a poll up for is it them or like who?
Yeah, about Mario and Master Chief. Which I put was unfair because of course Mario's been out since 85. Right. But no, the original topic started, and Fumo's going to discuss this in their show this weekend. was, you know, the original question was, is, you know, Halo, is the Halo franchise successful because of the hype machine known as Microsoft? And, you know, we all know that the original Halo was all word of mouth. And, of course, you have a successful franchise. You want to advertise the second, you know, the sequel as much as you can to get a new crowd into it. And that's exactly what it did. And, look, 3 years later, people are still playing it. People are hyped about the new maps. People are totally excited about Halo 3 beta. So, no, it is not overhyped. And for those people that think it's overhyped, you know, look at the show notes.
Hey, speaking of which, on the new maps, we know we didn't do that justice last episode, and we apologize about that. We do want to get into more detail about those in the future. We have those in the show notes this time. You can check them out there on some details that we wanted to cover, but we will get that next time. And, you know, we do want to get into that, like, as far as, like, strategies for the maps, as far as, like, what we think about the different graphics and, you know, the different effects going on with the new maps and the new layouts and stuff like that. So we will definitely get to that.
Yeah, we got five more days.
We are the Halo Universe podcast, and we will get into detail about it. So.
Five more days, and we'll be playing it. And I could only imagine all the strategies and, you know, tips and tricks we're going to get, man, on that first episode. Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for Kingston.
Yeah, it's going to be insane.
That's my favorite Halo 1 map by far.
Yeah, I'm pumped about Desolation, too, with the side ramps that are on there. The ramps in particular, those areas used to be like you get smashed into that area and you're like in a dead-end street. You know, there's only one way out, and that's through the other guys. But now you have another way out, and that's up the ramps. Anyway, we'll talk about that later as we get into that in future episodes. Yep. But just to wrap up, guys, we got the Halo 3 beta contest, like we were saying. If you want a free copy of Crackdown and access to the Halo 3 beta, you have one more week to do it. We've got a way for you to get in. Just call our listener voicemail, 206-888-HALO. Imitate three jokes from Podtacular in your best fake voices of the people that said it. Next week, we'll draw a winner from all the people that called in the three jokes. And if you win, we'll mention your gamertag on the show, and you can email us your contact info. We're going to be picking the best three jokes, the person who sent in the best ones. So, you know.
And please, guys, don't call in saying, "Daw!"
That doesn't count. It's not a joke.
Daw.
Because Fool Jared already told me that he's heard quite a few of those. So, I mean, come on. You know,
that's
there's
a cop-out.
There's a lot of content out there.
Yeah, come on,
easy.
Man.
I mean, 107
Brett episodes,
in the world,
you can pick something better than
disseminated.
Daw.
Yeah, exactly. I want to win Crackdown. Daw. All right, so send in your comments, etc., to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye out on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for the next show, for next week's show, which will be on the by the 19th.
You can also call or listen to voicemail at 206-888-HALO or 206-888-4256. And leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the Customs and Calling show, hosted by Captain Crunk.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of buzz about Halo 3, Halo 2 Vista, new Halo 2 mops, and plenty of other stuff to keep you excited.
Yeah, thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you.
Shout out to Captain Crump.
Yeah,
and Dalpex. All the administrators in the forums. You guys are doing a great job. And also, don't forget to check out the Gamercast Network, where you will get to listen to our affiliates. You will have the Gamertag Radio with Godfrey from GamertagRadio.com. Liquid Life and Vicious 696. They do Uncle Gamer Radio at UncleGamer.com, and Video Game Show with Chad, Keith, rest of the guys. So, you know, bunch of three different shows. And very fun to listen to.
Definitely. Yeah, well, until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I'm Kimo the Double Shotting Ninja.
And I am Breasting.
Breasting.
Breasting. Nice.
Have people actually mixed that up on Xbox Live?
That's every time I go into a Gears of War match with like Chevelle and Dial Pex and
Breasting.
Wrist Pablo and Blobby and all them. All they do is call me Breasting. Hey, Breasting.
Oh.
No, like I might as well change my gamer tag because it obviously isn't registering in their heads.
That's kind of what. Speaking of Chevelle, he did that. We kept on calling him Shovel, and now he actually changed his gamer tag to Shovel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna have to do that too.
From Chevelle to Shovel. Nice.
Shovel.
Shovel.
I'm breasting feeding.
Breast gamer.
A breast gamer.
Nice. Well, keep on fragging trucks, guys.
Keep on fragging weenus masters.
Keep on the bamming bananas.
Right.
There's only one thing left to say.
That was fun.
Oh boy.
Played. It is.
2 hours later.
You think this is the real end?
You think it's the end? It is.
Come on, you got what you wanted. End the podcast.
Yeah, that's, you know, that was like a crazy tip.
Jeez, what the hell was that?
Whoa.
I can't.
There's some Beano, man. Jeez.
I can't help it. For some reason.
It's like a mix of like gargling and burping and like
and farting and all at once.
It's a gargler like, fart.
During the show, I couldn't help it. During the show, gas it just like came up, and I tried. No, I don't have a mute button on my mic. No, I don't have a mute button like on my mic. It's like behind the computer. So like I tried to stifle it by just keeping it in my mouth, and I guess it like. It sounded like a lion or something. I couldn't
chewing on it.
Chewing. I don't chew my burps. I swallow.
Chew my burps.
No, I'm just saying, like, you chew in your mic.
This burp is delicious.
It has like flavor. Blueberries.
Even better than
I haven't had blueberries in 2 months.
I marked the day since I had blueberries.
Really backed up.
Or unpowerful intestines, depending on how you see it.
I haven't pooped in 2 months, man. It's coming all the way out from the bottom, too.
I have a rock of blueberries stuck in my lower intestines.
Rock turd.
Yeah.
So whenever I fart, it freshens the room.
GamerCastNetwork.com